ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing the discussion of living in the past. You want to move a little closer here? Move up a little closer. As you may know, my voice is not strong. So I try to manage my voice in such a way that can go on using it without losing it. So living in the past, continued. It might be considered, why make such a big fuss about this? Why not just be open? There are different ideas and different ways to practice Krishna consciousness. Often the accusation comes that I or those of us who are deemed to be living in the past, we're too critical. But remember, this whole discussion I'm making in response to the criticism that we're living in the past. So somehow or other, it's all right to criticize those who you don't agree with, but if they don't agree with you, then they're being overly critical. Double standard. Anyway, why not be open to different styles? Different people are preaching Krishna consciousness in different ways. There may be different ways to preach Krishna consciousness, but there is such a thing as deviation also. It's not just that everything that anyone does is wonderful, beautiful, and all these kind of words that those who are trying to become appreciated by everyone, the kind of words that they use too much, wonderful, beautiful, and all these words. Here's a quotation from Srila Prabhupada from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, text 14, from Srila Prabhupada's purport. A slight deviation may create havoc for self-realization. If a slight deviation can create havoc, then what to speak of deliberate expansion of the ideas separate from the absolute truth personality of Godhead? Now that's a very interesting phrase there. Deliberate expansion of the idea separate from the absolute truth personality of Godhead. This indirect style of preaching, as I was saying yesterday, you'll say, yes, we should all love God and seeing God in everything, but never defining the absolute truth personality of Godhead, who God is, and that we are His eternal servants and we have to surrender to Him. So what we're talking about here is a deliberate expansion of ideas separate from the absolute truth. The idea that, yes, God, or keeping it all very vague, not the clear idea or the proper understanding that Srila Prabhupada gave us according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Now, it is posited that, the world has changed and we have to change with it. I discussed this yesterday, that the same problems are there and always will be there. The same problems are there of birth, death, old age and disease. Forgetfulness of Krishna causes all miseries. That is the fact. Now, changing with the world. This was a big topic, still a big topic in the Western world, we can say in general, in which this society is always undergoing cultural changes, but especially it must have been in the 1980s and 1990s. There was a very big change in the whole society in as much computerization. By computerization, so many jobs were lost as the technology changed. My out of my four sisters, two actually married. One of them is still with her husband, the first husband she married. And he was my friend at school, actually. And he underwent 4 or 5 years of apprenticeship in printing technology. But by the time his apprenticeship had finished, the printing technology had changed. It had all become computerized, and all his 5 years, just became completely redundant and useless. And there are many, many people who are losing their jobs. Now, one book came out. It was by the author of The 1 Minute Manager. You heard of that? Was that? No. It's out. See, it was way back. They have all these books which become the rage. And then after some time, people forget. There's a book called The 1 Minute Manager. It means you just go and speak to the employee for 1 minute, and that's enough. And then you go on to the next one, and like this. And then someone else brought out a book called The 59-Second Employee, how to outwit your manager. Because actually, in Kami life, however much they may smile, it's all competitive. Everyone's trying to outdo everyone else. Anyway, the name of this book was Where's My Cheese? And it's just all based on one little story. How somehow I managed to expand it into a whole book. So the story is, okay, every day there's a maze for mice. And every day in one place in that maze, a piece of cheese is put. And all the mice, they know how to negotiate their way through the maze to find the piece of cheese. And every day they go, and they go through the maze, they get their cheese, and they go back. One day they go, and there's no cheese, and they're all bewildered what to do. They're all upset, and they're all bewildered. And then some of them who are more smart, they start to wander through different parts of the maze, and they find the cheese has been put somewhere else. And then they go in the completely different route, and they find the cheese. But other mice, they're just in a rut, and they keep on going to the same place every day, and they don't get any cheese because the cheese has moved. So the idea is that the moral of the story is you've got to move with the times. Things have changed. Get with it. Don't keep on doing the same thing, thinking that you're going to get the same result when things have changed. So that seems to be the kind of attitude in the workplace. That means, hey, get with it. The technology's changed. You have to learn the new technology and get in line with the new society. Otherwise, you can't function. Someone growing up with the kind of attitudes that myself and our generation imbibed. Now, if you have the same kind of attitudes, you're going to be in a lot of trouble, because in our generation we were, the culture was anti-homosexual, sexist, and all this kind of thing. But nowadays you're supposed to be open to if you're we're racist. Actually, we weren't that much, but there was an overtone of that. So the whole society has changed. You've got to change with it. So the idea of living in the past, it's like saying, hey, look, you know, things have changed. Get with it. This is where the action is. Yoga. You've got to do yoga and just get people to chant, and don't give them all this heavy philosophy, that all this in-the-face stuff. You got to blend in with people. These four words, living in the past, there's a whole bundle of ideas which are implicit in that statement, living in the past. So that idea that when Srila Prabhupada was first preaching Krishna consciousness in the Western countries, and then devotees were going out in devotional attire and chanting in the streets. And it was openly and deliberately in contrast to everything else that was going on around them. And it was more or less a statement without verbalizing it. It was a statement that we are not part of your society. We don't want to be part of that society. We're finished with it. We've got something better, completely different. And distributing these books in which completely different values of life are there. Human life is meant for God realization. People who do not dedicate their lives for understanding who they are and who is God, they are just like animals. Prabhupada says it in his books again and again and again. And these are the books we're distributing. Practically tell you, open the book and the book tells you, you are just like an animal. It's punchy, in the face. Absolute truth, not popular. So the more mellow approach, blending in, don't try to tell people there's something wrong with their life. Just add Hare Krishna to that. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that. You don't have to give up anything, you just add Hare Krishna. Just add the chanting. But then people who did start to chant more seriously, then he would tell them, yes, you do have to give up. In the beginning, you just come and chant Hare Krishna and take prasad. But then later, if you want to get more serious, definitely, there's no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no cinema, no kami food. And there's a whole list of things. In the beginning, maybe not. So you can bring many people in without telling them all the rules and regulations, just trying to make them feel comfortable. That's all right for a beginning, but you have to go beyond that. So this going out is still, devotees are going out in the streets and chanting Hare Krishna, and it is a statement that we don't want to be part of your society. And actually, Srila Prabhupada, he opposed the Western civilization in almost every way possible. Culturally, he didn't like, he had a different style of dress. He didn't make an issue of it that you have to dress in this style of dress, but he did introduce a different style of dress. Sometimes it's said that, well, Prabhupada didn't introduce this, but he did like his disciples to dress in what you could call traditional Indian dress. The diet Srila Prabhupada gave, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, well, one of the main things he gave was prasadam, and he cooked what could be called Indian food. And that was the staple diet in ISKCON temples, at least in the West. I left the West to come to India in 1976, but up Dhanavir Maharaj had introduced in the evening apple crumble. Otherwise, when I first joined, it was only Indian preparations, that's all. There were no Western preparations. Sexual mores, sexual standards. Men and women are distinctly different. Men have a certain role in society. Women have a certain role in society. That was very different from the feminism that was beginning to become very strong in the Western world at that time, which Srila Prabhupada directly and very challengingly and opposed feminism, which caused a big uproar, actually. Srila Prabhupada opposed the political system of the Western world. He didn't like democracy. He openly said he liked he preferred dictatorship, which you say that in almost anywhere in the world. Well, if you say that, then people become very upset. I mean, America invaded, bombed, and destroyed Iraq because it was on the grounds that it was a dictatorship, right? Because democracy is so sacred that it's better to bomb them and kill them than to let them live in a dictatorship. Somehow or other, it's okay in Saudi Arabia and this and that, and they don't dare touch China. or criticize China, or Russia is practically a dictator. There's a semblance of democracy. But the Srila Prabhupada was very much against democracy. Its economic system, the rat race, all based on competition and exploitation. Srila Prabhupada was against that. Not only the capitalistic society. They still call it that, capitalism. It's an outdated word, but it's still, it's not really capitalism because there's no real capital. It's just imaginary money. Neo-capitalism, yeah. It's all cheating. How is it that America is still so wealthy even though they don't produce practically anything? They produce the dollar. That's, it's all cheating. That's all. Yeah, but that's the petrodollar. The era is coming to an end. Anyway, Prabhupada, he saw through all that years before anyone else. Prabhupada saw through the cheating of the paper money system. The educational system, Srila Prabhupada was opposed to. Srila Prabhupada was very skeptical of the science, the scientism, of the, which was practically the foundation of Western civilization. Even their medicine, Prabhupada, he wasn't against it, but he preferred Ayurveda. He trusted Ayurveda more. And everything about the whoosh-whoosh motor car civilization, he would criticize the people. They go so fast in their car. They have to travel so far to go to work and get stuck in a traffic jam. Srila Prabhupada is very critical of the whole materialistic civilization. So his movement was meant to be a revolution against the whole materialistic way of life. So the idea of blending into society is, if we take Srila Prabhupada's original mood, it's a cop-out. Then people won't oppose us, that's for sure. If you're not a revolutionary, you won't. Then no one will. Then you won't get opposed. Just like you see the dog, when two dogs fight, and when one dog realizes he's losing, what does he do? He rolls on the ground and puts his paws in the air, just like, okay, now I surrender. So it's like that. We surrendered. Okay, we're not any problem. We'll be nice. We'll be good boys, and we won't talk about surrender to Krishna or give up your demoniac, get out of this demoniac society. We'll just talk about yoga and love and peace and beautiful and wonderful okay, all right. And then. No one's against us, no one even heard of us. The result of stopping the chanting, the public chanting and book distribution, is that people have never even heard of us. Most of the people in America, according to my experience, they never even heard of us. You know what it is. So we lost our caste and we're still hungry. Srila Prabhupada gave that story. The hungry brahmana begged food from a chandala, but the chandala couldn't give him enough to eat. So he lost his caste because he took food from a chandala, but still he's hungry. So we lost our vibrancy, and still we didn't make any effect in society by compromising with it. The argument is that if we speak the philosophy as it is, people get turned off. But actually, that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Even from the very beginning, when in the 26th Second Avenue, Srila Prabhupada would have kirtans, and many people would like to join, but then Prabhupada would speak philosophy, uncompromisingly. You can hear. Prabhupada had the presence of mind to record those speeches, and from the very beginning, they're total, straightforward, uncompromising, and most of the people would leave. They'd stay for the kirtan, and they might stay for 5 minutes of the talk, but when they heard that it had heavy philosophy, and they'd just leave. But those who stayed, stayed. And they became the committed members of the Hare Krishna revolution. They were willing to commit because they realized that this is something serious. It's not like a yoga group. You go and you feel good and then you go away again and get on with your life. It's something that requires commitment and it's worth committing for. So if we say living in the past, well, Krishna is the past. Krishna is the present. Krishna is the future. Bhuta Bhavya. What is that in the Vishnu Sahasranam? Right at the beginning, Bhuta Bhavya Bhava Prabhu is the past and the present and the future. He's the Lord in all three phases of time. So Krishna is reality. You can say move with the times, and then you always have to keep on changing with the times. But Krishna is the reality who never changes. And the process of devotional service to him based on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the same. It doesn't change. What people may think is reality, it's transient. It's the present situation under the modes of nature. So if you stick with what Srila Prabhupada, the emissary of the Absolute Truth, gave, then you always remain beyond the modes of material nature. That means practicing devotional service, pure devotional service. Mangchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Devotional service, avyabhicharini bhakti, without any admixture of anything mundane, without any allowance for the three modes of material nature, if one practices that, then automatically one comes to the platform beyond the three modes of material nature, the spiritual platform. And this is reality. Whereas within the modes of material nature, you're saying, oh, just like fashion, one year they have one fashion, then another fashion, then another fashion, and always changing. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I believe it's in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, one of his purports, that we have one fashion, shaved head with shikha. Not that the fashion is always changing. We very puffed up. Our country is the most powerful in the world. We have to do what the Americans do and then everyone will follow. That's not true anymore. America's on the way down, folks. Everyone can notice except the Americans. It's a dying empire. It's a cycle. In time that there was the Babylonian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, and the British Empire, and the American. They come, they puff up and puff up and puff up, and then poof, they burst and they're finished. So America's on the way down, so don't be so puffed up. We have to do things the American way. The dying empire. It's not, as you may think, this is real, our big, big buildings. That was a real blow when those two twin towers came tumbling down. That was symbolically, that was saying that it's all over, folks. Your big, big buildings, you're not safe wherever you are. There was a big shift in the whole psyche of America because they thought we're safe. No one's ever going to invade us. No one can do anything to us. And right in the heart of their most prestigious and famous city, just blown to pieces by some Arabs. Arabs? We're much superior to us. Anyway, that's the official line, that they were blown up by some Arabs. It is disputed. Anyway, you may say living in the past, but the old process, or the process that Srila Prabhupada gave, it actually makes devotees and committed devotees, not half Mayavadis, who wonderful, beautiful, and all this kind of thing, but those who are actually committed. If the other process makes devotees, then where are they all? Devotees, they do what Lord Chaitanya wanted, which is to go out in the streets and chant Hare Krishna. But they're actually opposed to doing that, which makes us think they're more in the camp of the Mayavadis, like Prakashananda Saraswati, who criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why are you such a sentimentalist going in the streets and chanting? He was a demon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved him. But he was opposed to, he was a Mayavadi, and he was opposed to the public chanting of Hare Krishna. And at the present time, we have supposed to be devotees who are actually deeply infected by neo-Mayavadi ideas, who are opposed to the public chanting of Hare Krishna. The real devotees, it's Ekas Chandras Tamohanti King Natara Sahasrashaha. One star, sorry, one moon can light up the whole sky. Now it's just, we're just going past Purnima. Yesterday was Purnima. So at night, if you, like me, if you get up in the middle of the night to pass water, and you go outside and you can, you put your hand up, there's a shadow, it's so bright. But the millions of stars don't give the same effect as one moon. So Srila Prabhupada often used that example, that we're looking for moons, not stars. The thing is that with all this be good, be nice, don't speak strongly, don't live in the past, there's no real substance there. When you take out the surrender to Krishna, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, don't speak in a way that upsets people, be nice to everyone, be friendly, smile, beautiful, wonderful, all this thing. There's nothing real left. It's all just a bunch of words sounding nice. And that is graphically demonstrated, literally graphically demonstrated in a short video that was brought to my attention recently of some so-called pundit who, he made a five-minute video, something about how to control your anger. That was the subject. And he mentioned in there that he had lived for 50, he's one of the, have you seen that? They talk, talking really fast, like an excited Telugu, you know, Telugu people, they speak so fast. I mean, ordinarily they speak quickly, Tamils also. But I think Telugu is even more. They speak very, it's like really quick, isn't it? And but if they get excited, then you could just imagine. So it's, they have this like that on there. They speak, they speak really quickly. And just if you speeded it up, you wouldn't be able to understand anything at all. They speak really quickly because they want to cram in a lot of stuff. But actually, in the whole 5 minutes, he had nothing. But in there, he said, I lived 15 years in an ashram. And actually, he was in that ashram where the people come out and accuse our people of living in the past. So he didn't say it was a Hare Krishna ashram. He had been in this, it's supposed to be devotee ashram, but he didn't mention Srila Prabhupada in the whole 5 minutes. He didn't mention any Shastra. He did quote Dalai Lama, as if he's some kind of authority. You know, just high, why not say Krishna, Prabhupada? And for all his 15 years, what did he get out of it? He had nothing new to say in that 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it was. It was just, if you get angry, take a deep breath or take two deep breaths. What's new about that? And then don't do anything immediately. Don't do anything quickly that you'll regret later. He said it maybe more exciting. What's the word? Kitsch, says some words, some Yiddish word they use in America. You wouldn't know. I don't know either. In some trendy kind of way, but it was basically nothing new. Nothing new. When you get angry, hold your breath. Da, 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 da. And that's all he got after 15 years in a Hare Krishna ashram. Maybe that is. After 15 years, he was inspired to come out and just basically talk a bunch of mumbo-jumbo and come off like some New Age guru. With nothing that, what is the aim of life? We're all suffering in this material world. Who is God? What happens after death? The really important questions, there's nothing there. It's just, it's all this thing, how to live in this world happily. That's all. So that reminds me, because I'm in the process of compiling this book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada, and I'm going through quite a lot of ISKCON history, especially when Srila Prabhupada was present. Just in the last few days, I've been reconstructing from all the available evidence, the history of Siddha Swarup Ananda Goswami, who was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but he had his own little group within ISKCON, and he always liked to keep things mellow, and he thought the devotees were too heavy, and he thought the regulations were too heavy, and we shouldn't upset people. And Prabhupada encouraged him, but he never wanted to really follow Srila Prabhupada the way that Srila Prabhupada wanted, and he was very critical of those who did. And then after Srila Prabhupada left, he just floated away. And he's still active, but he doesn't... And he does give... He does mention my guru, Srila Prabhupada, but apart from that, there's... He doesn't use that the name that Prabhupada gave me. He uses his passport name. And otherwise, he's just like one of any hundreds of New Age gurus. Be good, be nice, peace, love. There's nothing of any serious spiritual value there. Nothing resembling Krishna consciousness. So when you see this pundit 5 minutes video, there's nothing in there. It's just like one book, which we're not supposed to criticize, which is very much promoted by a certain group in ISKCON. You could read it for hundreds of years and you'll never get the idea that you have to surrender to Krishna. There's a serious problem, especially when that book is promoted more than the books of Srila Prabhupada, which in every line, either directly or the undercurrent is always there, that you have to surrender to Krishna. It's a serious problem. So, this is what happens when we think, well, the absolute truth is too heavy for people to take. Let's just mix a little bit of untruth in with it. A little bit of Dalai Lama here and Mother Teresa there and who else is there? Deepak Chopra and TM and all. Deepak Chopra, I think, came out of the TM group, this Yogi Maheshu Prabhupada, severely criticized as a cheater. So a bit, if we see, oh, they're having so much success, you see, there's so many people who follow the Dalai Lama. Let's be like him. Let's see what's he doing to have his success. Hey, folks, it's not success. It's all Maya. It's not the Dharma Kaitava Projita Atra Paramo Nir Matsaranam Satam. It's not the essence of the Vedas, the actual truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. It's part of the illusion. It's all part of the illusion. So if we try to mix a little untruth with the full truth, or hide the full truth, and hide when just our devotees living in the past, going out, chanting Hare Krishna in public, oh, better hide that. I don't know why they're all so anxious to hide that we're Hare Krishna. We're followers of Prabhupada. Why? Why am I hiding? What's the problem? Are you ashamed? Or what's the problem? If we hide the full truth, then it's not fully spiritual. And if it's not fully spiritual, it means it partakes of the nature of Maya. It's not avyabhicharini bhakti. Avyabhicharini means unmixed, unalloyed. Prabhupada used that word, unalloyed devotional service. An admixture of the modes of nature. Mayavadis, they say things that might sound spiritual, but they don't call for surrender to Krishna. It sounds spiritual. Be here now. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. How deep, how profound. And the next day, today is the first day. Yeah, that's true. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. And you're going with the rest of your life. But there's no clear direction what you're supposed to do with the rest of your life. High-sounding platitudes, but no substance, half spiritual, half material. Is there such a thing? Maybe. But what about fully spiritual? Mame kam sharanam raja. Surrender to me only. If it's half spiritual and half material, it means it's not the whole truth, the full truth. And this kind of thinking, it's the kind of attitude that keeps us in the material world forever while thinking that we're spiritual. How does that work? Bahunam janmanamante gyanavang mam prabhajate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births, someone who's actually understood what's going on, they surrender to me. But such a great soul is very rare. In other words, you can go for many births being so-called spiritual, right? That's what a Gyan, someone who's on the path of Gyana, they think they're very spiritual, but they go on birth after birth, suffering birth after birth, because they don't come to the point of surrendering to Krishna. And when you come to the point of surrendering to Krishna, you do what Krishna wants. For instance, going out on the streets and chanting Hare Krishna and distributing Prabhupada's books. And you may say, well, that's living in the past. Hey, folks, it's living in the present. You're living in the eternal past, because you're always going to have a past to look back to, because you're going to have to be born again and again because you don't surrender to Krishna. Whereas we're living in the eternal present, because in the present time, we are surrendering to Krishna. We're trying to surrender to Krishna. So this feel-good approach, just make everyone feel good, it's not a good policy, because however much you may try to make people feel good by speaking in a voice that people like, or otherwise, the blah, 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 the machine gun style. There are different ways of speaking. You can't speak like an ordinary person, either machine gun style in the 3-minute video or the very spiritual this style. The idea to make people feel good, that's another nonsense idea, because feeling good is another illusion, because this whole material world is full of suffering. So better tell people, this material world is full of suffering. What are you going to do about it? Huh? And in the process of surrender to Krishna, Krishna will certainly arrange all kinds of situations that don't make us feel good. That's the actual fact. The Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refers to the fire of ordeal we have to go through to become purified. In other words, Krishna often makes the devotee not feel good. If we're feeling too good, then we're in trouble. There was one incident that Himavati, Hansaduta's wife, and then Hansaduta just took sannyas without her even knowing. And the news came to her and she became so upset. And she went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm so upset, I feel like I hate the whole world. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's good, you're making spiritual advancement. I feel detestable to everything in the world. And Prabhupada said, good, that's good. So this whole idea, these motivational gurus, New Age gurus, how to make you feel good living in the world, that's not our process. How to be well adjusted in the world, that's not our process. Our process is to get out of this world. I often get the feeling, you see, like I'm saying these, spiritual, and this vague smile and far away look in the eyes. It seems to me, and this is of course subjective, that they're not actually very happy, although there's this look of making a big show of being very spiritual. I don't think they're very happy. They're not satisfied with the simple process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave and Prabhupada gave of chanting Hare Krishna, talking from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and just being a simple devotee. You always have to do something new or different. Why? What is this? Yayatma suprasediti. What is that verse? Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktirad hokshajaya haituk yapriyat apratihata yayatma suprasediti. One who's one who takes the process of pure devotional service to Krishna, they become fully satisfied in their core being, Atma Suprasi, become fully. It just strikes me that they're not all these plastic smiles. I remember even as a kid, I was turned off by all these plastic smiles, even before I had the immeasurable good fortune of being accepted at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. There's superficiality. There's no substance behind it, and they're not actually happy. I don't think so. Why didn't you just follow what Prabhupada gave us? Something wrong with it? Huh? They say it's too much for people to follow, but I think they themselves don't want to follow it. That's what everyone thought before Prabhupada went to the West. How are you trying to make Westerners into devotees? They'll never follow all of that. So it's the same thing a generation later. Oh, people can't follow, it's too much, blah, 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 blah. Or maybe it's just a little bhakti, but only the nice things. The half a chicken philosophy. It's like the Mayavadis. They like bhakti as long as you don't. They like bhakti if they'll say they like bhakti. Actually, they don't like it much. But they say they like, yeah, it's very good. As long as there's no actual surrender to Krishna. I've seen one time we hired out a Mayavadi ashram to do in Bharuch. We hired out the ashram for doing some program. And then I was staying. And then they called me because I didn't go to see their big sannyasi there. So they called, you should come. So then we all went to see him. And I spoke with him for about 2 minutes and said, okay, let's do kirtan. So we had all the devotees doing kirtan and jumping and singing. And he and his few followers, they're doing their best to try and look happy. But you could see they didn't actually like the kirtan. We went on for about 20 minutes or half an hour. But they didn't actually like it. Their ashram had been contaminated by all this kirtan. I don't know what they thought. But they'll say, yes, bhakti, very nice. But they don't actually like it. As long as it's vague, yeah, bhakti, and you chant Jai Ganesh, and all kinds of things, Hanuman songs, and all kinds of things, but no real surrender to Krishna. I guess we'll just go on speaking all the right ideas. We know it's right. They may say, well, you're very puffed up to talk like this. But we have the simple faith that what Srila Prabhupada has given us, what's given in Shastra, that's right. And everything else is wrong. That's all. There is right and there is wrong. In the material world, things may get mixed up. And then you have what's called dharma sankat, where you're not sure what to do. And the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken because Arjuna, if he fought, he thought he would transgress dharma. And if he didn't fight, that also seemed to transgress dharma. So what do you do? The whole Mahabharata is full of situations like that, one after the other. And then what's the harmonization of all this? Mame kam sharanam raja. If we do what Krishna wants, it's perfect. That is the morality. So we need to make this clear. The whole world's full of vagueness and unclearness, and people don't know where they're going, but we know where they're going. We know. How do we know? Urdvanga chanti sadvasto madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya guna vrittisto adhoga chanti tamasaha. People who act piously, they go up. In sattva-gun, there's no sattva-gun at the present time. People who act in rajagun, pure rajagun means material piety. They mixed. Well, it's between sattva-gun and tamagun. So anyway, they stay in the middle plane. And those in the mode of ignorance, which means pretty much everyone in the modern world, however intellectual, artistic, or new agey they might be, they go down. We know where they're going. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti prachi vrataha putani yanti bhuteja madhyajino pi yanti mam. According to who we worship and how we worship, that's where we go. And if we worship Krishna the way that Krishna wants, then we'll go to Krishna. We have to worship Krishna in the way that Krishna wants. There's no yoga studios in the spiritual world. neither in the past, nor in the present, nor in the future. There is chanting Hare Krishna. Public chanting of Hare Krishna, that is spiritual. So we have to make things clear, make it clear from the beginning. And we say living in the past, but actually if we see ISKCON in the past, it was more Krishna conscious. There was no question, no thought of beauty contests at ISKCON centers and yoga. Yoga has become mainstream in ISKCON. Strange thing. There was more surrender, more direct preaching, more discussion of Shastra, more quoting of Srila Prabhupada, never quoting Dalai Lama. Here's a quote from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, responding to the objections of the Mayavadis who criticized him for public chanting of the holy names. That's what we're dealing with here. Our devotees in New York City are being criticized for public chanting of the holy names. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to the Mayavadis, Eta bhake ami jura vishas dhari niranta krishna nam shankirtana kari. This is prior to this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, it told that, they asked him, why are you chanting Hare Krishna? He said, well, my guru told me to. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master who ordered me to chant Hare Krishna. And therefore I always chant the holy name of the Lord alone and in the association of devotees. So to conclude this talk, I'll read an extract from a lecture given by Srila Prabhupada on February 10th, 1974 in Vrindavan, in which he speaks about the same old thing, living in the past. Srila Prabhupada said, our Krishna consciousness movement is very simple. We haven't got to manufacture anything, any philosophy by research work. Krishna says, yoga proktaf puratanaha. We have to speak the same thing, the most, very, very old, puratanaha. We haven't got to manufacture it. Nowadays, we have advanced in education and civilization. Srila Prabhupada is speaking sarcastically or facetiously. Nowadays, we have advanced in education and civilization. Therefore, we have to concoct some idea. It is not our business. We have to speak the same old puratana thing. What is that puratana thing? 5,000 years ago, Krishna says, surrender unto me. So we have to preach this old gospel. Surrender unto Krishna. Finish your business. Krishna says, I am speaking that old thing which millions of years ago I spoke to the sun god. Similarly, we have to refer to Krishna. 5,000 years ago, Krishna said this. Let us repeat that. Yogaf proktaf puratanaha. And who can speak this? Bhaktosi, one who is actually a devotee. Others, rascals, they interpret Bhagavad Gita in different ways. Did you ever see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, hold your breath when you get angry? He told Arjuna, get out there and be angry. Just getting back to what Prabhupada said. They are not speaking the Puratana, therefore they are null and void, they are rejected. Go and tell this pundit, you are null and void, you are rejected. Sakale neha yoga. Anyway, I don't know how much you should blame, because it's... He got it from his guru, right? Who do you blame, the guru or the disciple? Or what's going on? Certainly if the guru took the knowledge from Srila Prabhupada and gave something else, that is null and void, rejected. Prabhupada, I'm continuing what Prabhupada said. Sakale neha yoga nashta. One who does not speak the whole thing by the parampara system is speaking nonsense. Take evidence from Bhagavad Gita. Sakale neha nashta. Krishna said that the old parampara system, as I spoke to the sun god. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. As soon as we deviate from the parampara system, Parampara system means to receive the knowledge through disciplic succession, a very simple thing. But in due course of time, it becomes deviated. Just like nowadays they are interpreting Bhagavad Gita in different ways. That means kalena nashta. This is not Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who is speaking against Krishna, they are discovering some new meaning. Adhyatmic meaning. Srila Prabhupada's referring to something, I'm not sure. Someone has made some commentary in which they say the adhyatmic meaning. Adhyatmic is usually translated as spiritual, but I don't think you can really fully translate it into English. But someone has said they're giving the adhyatmic, in other words, they've given their own speculative meaning. So Prabhupada is responding to that. They say adhyatmic meaning. Do they not say like that? Adhyatmic meaning. What is this nonsense, adhyatmic meaning? That means kalena nashta. Anyone who discovers some adhyatmic meaning of Bhagavad Gita, according to his fertile brain, that sort of preaching of Bhagavad Gita is nashtaha. So we can take it, the people who have this pseudo-spiritualism, that sort of preaching of Bhagavad Gita is nashtaha. It is not real Bhagavad Gita. Real Bhagavad Gita is if you speak the very old thing. Saradhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. What Krishna said 5,000 years ago in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. If you speak that old thing, that Krishna desires that everyone surrender unto him, so let me preach this cult. My dear friend, please surrender to Krishna. Then you are a good preacher. If you speak what Krishna says, then you are a good preacher. At least in this context, Srila Prabhupada didn't say that if you get lots of people to chant Hare Krishna and not understand any philosophy and not surrender to Krishna, like Sai Baba did, then you're a good preacher. I don't know actually if Sai Baba even introduced this chanting. Probably his own followers just, he didn't teach anything. Probably his own followers just introduced it. So anyway, Prabhupada says, three words, my dear friend, please surrender to Krishna. That's all. To become a preacher in the Krishna conscious movement is not at all difficult. We have to speak the same thing. That is this is confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh amaragyai guru hoya taro edesh. Jare deko tare koha Krishna upadesh. This is guru. Guru does not mean anything extraordinary. Any damn rascal like me can become a guru, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said, any damn rascal like me can become a guru. What humility. The acharya of the whole universe, referring to himself as a damn rascal. But the point he's making is that you become a guru by speaking the same thing, not speaking something different. There are so many gurus, new age gurus, but the real guru is one who speaks what Krishna says. So I'm speaking this at this Chena Keshav Gram community. It's Gram means community, means Gram means coming together, collection. So it's small community at the present time, but really the aim is to live in the past. In the sense that we don't want to be part of the modern civilization. As far as possible, we are going to live simply and chant Hare Krishna, as people did a lot more in the past. The old Indian culture was much better than the new Indian culture, in which they're becoming increasingly materialistic and degraded. So we want to go back in many ways to the old way of living. Bullock carts for transport, growing your own food. Even all the people around here, they have land. They don't grow any of their own food. They just grow cash crops. That's all. They don't even use the coffee that they grow, probably. They probably buy coffee in the market, because anyway, the coffee has to be processed. It's not like you take the rice out of, and then you process it yourself. There's not that much processing to do. And then you cook it and offer it to Krishna and eat it here. But with coffee, there's a whole they do it. They do it. So all, what are they? Some chemical treatment and this and that. So they don't touch anything. They grow themselves. So we're going to go back to the old way. And the most important thing about the old way is chanting Hare Krishna, of course. But this is all also part of Prabhupada's plan to, if you like, go back in the past. Yeah, he said, use bullock carts, don't have electricity, so it's like going back in the past. So yeah, we'll happily live in the past. And we can use the things of the present time to some extent, as much as can be used for preaching Krishna consciousness. But we don't want to be enamored by the foolishness of this condemned atheistic, impersonalistic civilization. We're standing apart from that, different. So all glories to the devotees in New York City and elsewhere who have the courage to, the conviction to present themselves. And here we are. We are followers of Bhagavad Gita as it is, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. This is what we're doing. And this is what we have to give, nothing else. And actually the so-called devotees will criticize. The public don't criticize much. It's the so-called devotees who criticize. The public, they're often very happy to see our devotees. People from all over the world take books from them. A few cities, New York, London, Paris, you get people from all over, the great places to do Harinam. So when I was there with the Harinam party last year, there are people from Kuwait. Well, you ask them, where are you from? They're from Kuwait. There's no way that they're going to see the Harinam party in Kuwait. We do have devotees. The last place I was in was Kuwait, actually, but the chanting is private. Government doesn't object as long as you do it. The Indian people, the Hindus do it privately. But you can't go out in the streets. There's no question of going out in the streets and chanting Hare Krishna. So those people, they could never be benefited if the devotees in New York had not been merciful enough to go out and bring the public, the chanting of Hare Krishna to the public. And then all glories to Satyanarayan Prabhu, who has got Srila Prabhupada's books translated into Arabic, and many people and many Arabs visit the Western world, and they're happy to very happy to take books. You can't go out on book distribution in Kuwait, just read Arabic books, but you can do it in New York. And what to speak, the people in New York, the present generation, they wouldn't know anything about Krishna consciousness unless it was for the devotees who are out there in the street. So all glories. Live in the past. If that's what they call it, let them say whatever they like. You go on with what you're doing. Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. What the hell does anything else matter anyway? Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. That's our whole aim, isn't it? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any more questions, comments? No beer bottles here. What should you throw? If we're going to have in the past, beer cans won't work. Something from the past? Eggs? It has to be something natural, right, from the past. If you're going to throw something at me, it shouldn't be a beer can, because that's something produced by modern society. You get the point? If you're going to throw something at me, it should be something natural, organic tomatoes or something. Don't throw genetically modified tomatoes at me, only organic tomatoes. That was reported to Prabhupada, this completely bogus guy. They called him Bal Yogeshwar, Guru Maharaji. So someone was so upset with him calling himself God that in America they walked up to him with the beautiful cake with all cream on top. I thought, oh, nice, they're going to bring him cake. And they gave it to him right in his face. They put it also, in the public, he had all this cream on his face. So, I mean, it's not harmful, but it's just insulting. So Prabhupada, when he heard it, they said, yes, that's what we should do. put a pie in his face just to show how we're so disgusted with you. You're so useless. Yeah, and then?
Yesterday there was quote that Prabhupada in that letter, he said, there is a real system given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Real system given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, then?
That Rupa Goswami, and there is Rupa Goswami verse that Yena Tena Prakarena.
Yena Tena Prakarena Mana Krishna Nishiriyat. Sarva Vidhi Nishedasya Etayor Eva Kinkaraha. Actually, this is parts of two verses put together, which Srila Prabhupada quoted it like that, that somehow or other bring people to Krishna consciousness and then bring all the rules and regulations. Great, yeah. But don't just leave them that, like I said, that Prabhupada said, just add chanting Hare Krishna, but don't just leave it like that. Yeah, great, call all the Mayavadis and chant Hare Krishna, but don't talk wishy-washy mumbo-jumbo to them. Bring them and bring them up. Bringing in is one thing and bringing them up is something else. So if you say that, yeah, well, in the beginning you don't introduce everything. You gradually bring people. And we do that also. Someone comes to join, we don't tell them immediately. We might do, depending on the individual. But generally we'd say, okay, you try to understand this and then you practice it and gradually bring them in. But we just don't. It just like you may have festivals, so many festivals, and people like it, and then where's the follow-up? Festivals we do. We have to have follow-up also. Then we have to have our centers where people can come and see how people are seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. And at least in our centers, we should speak clearly. And at least among our own devotees, we should speak very clearly. I wrote about that in that book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. If we think we always have to speak in a very mild manner and not giving the absolute truth, as long as there's anyone new there, then we can never, because there'll always be someone new, even in our temple, there'll always be someone new. And then when are you going to actually speak, if you think, oh, there's someone new here, so he won't tell everything, and then you're never going to speak the actual thing as it is. I spoke about this at... I discussed this at length in that book on speaking strongly. I gave the example of Ravindra Swarup, of all people, who stated when he first came to an ISKCON temple and he heard the speech and it was really heavy. He said, you have to surrender to Krishna. There are four regulated principles, really heavy. And he thought, great, great, at last someone's speaking the truth. He recognized it. So the truth will appeal to sincere people. And if you have mumbo-jumbo, the problem with all this mumbo-jumbo is that there are so many people out there speaking mumbo-jumbo. And then you're in contact with the Deepak Chopras and the Winfrey Opera, Opera Winfrey or whatever. I'm not sure. She's, I don't know, something. All mumbo-jumbo. With all there are hundreds and thousands of mumbo-jumbo people. Some are more famous than others, and there's already a big crowd, there's a big market out there, and people have a lifetime of practice of cheating people, so we have our own product. It's unique. It's called the real thing. Those who are fed up of being cheated by this Baba and that guru and this Swami, and they'll recognize it and they'll take it. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. At least one reason for having this kind of community is that we can talk that what we need to talk. And actually that's a fact. Just like I'm talking about, there's another center in New York. Our devotees are not welcome to speak there. Because I'm talking about the morning class where it's supposed to be all devotees. You're not supposed to speak in a confrontational manner to anyone at any time, under any time, place, or circumstance. It's always got to be sweet. So, you need to have your own place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once asked, Why are you making new mutts and temples when there are already so many? And he said, well, we need a place where we can speak our own message. You may go to some place and speak. They may, okay, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, but you can't. You need to have your own place. Srila Prabhupada was also asked why are you making so many temples when they're installing deities when there's so many? One man asked him, I believe that was at one Kumbh Mela, it was in India, and Prabhupada said, well, why do you have children? You have children? Why do you have children? And Prabhupada gave the example that there are already so many children in the world, but you want to have your own children, right? So we want to have our own temples. And that's a little bit of a different example. Hare Krishna, Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyavajapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.